I can't have all this shit and see its way out.
All season I've been practicing, all season I've been killing shit. 6 feet is where my partners went. Damn, I ain't been the same since. 80s baby, but the 90s raised me. Decatur made me, can't forget about my fam. Cold heart, cause the streets don't give a damn. Play a part of you, get demolished. You'll turn up and get turned to particles. Burn one, making DJs fond of you is hard to do sometimes, cause some aren't act too cool sometimes. So I stick to my guns. I hang with the ones that was down with me when I had none. Keep that OG in my lungs. This battle's already won. How do you feel? Stepping on stage with the real. Knowing that you might get killed if you got me on video. Send me a steal. Shot. You know the trap steel. High 400 degrees. Classic in the streets. I'm just trying to make one of these. Chasing the cheese. Avoiding the traps. Phony homies turning police on me. Call me sticky fingers. Got the codeine on me. Flexing on them. No rollie on me. Whoa. Kemosabe host in the lobby for us. Getting poured. More shit in store. Did some shit you can't ignore. Niggas telling them there's no reward. I don't get it. Did you think you was getting an award?
Yo, what's going on? It's Mez with another episode of Mez Drinks and Chill. That was the homie Big Bags. Rest in peace, Big Bags.
Man, Bags, man. Rest in peace, man. We was just talking about you, bro.
Just talking about you, man. That's crazy. We just... And the crazy thing is on...
This whole season,
we've been showing him love. The whole season, bro. Yeah, and matter of fact, our episode that we did together, it was the cancel culture episode.
Yeah.
We spoke about him, and then we also played his music. And then I think
it was... And Asia's episode, too.
Exactly. Asia's episode at the end, I spoke about the first time I met him. First time I seen him perform and played his music at the end. And then crazy thing is he died after that. Like, that shit really fucked me up, bro.
Yeah. I was just telling you earlier in pre-production, like, I know exactly the street and where he, like, you know, went off the road. So it's, like, even more eerie because I know that gets dark and, like, ominous and just, like, nobody be there. So if you
rest
slip
in peace, Big Bags, man.
That's crazy.
What's going on, Sapphire?
You know, we here. Another day, another dollar, man.
Yeah, and we got the Material Curls in the building.
Okay, long time coming.
Hey, y'all.
Hello.
What up? Where can they find the Material Curls? Look, they laughing already. They got...
Please introduce yourselves, too.
Okay. Yeah, please.
We're not going to just call y'all Material Curls the whole episode.
I mean, that's fine. We're
basically...
But
y'all are a team, an item? Mm-hmm.
Well, an item.
Okay, all right. Let's not go
item. We're going to fight here.
That's a whole thing, but
I'm Danette.
Oh, that was it.
I don't know. Was there supposed to be more to it?
Nah, that was good.
I'm good.
Danette, what up, Danette?
And I'm Kat.
Welcome,
what's
ladies.
Up, Kat?
Welcome.
What's up, Kat?
I'm trying to be professional. I could say this is my fiance, but
because Danette made it plain, like, you're gonna have to say it. Like,
I was just curious. Right.
Danette did it, not me, y'all. Just so you know.
What's up with y'all? The Material Curls. Where can I find y'all on Instagram?
At Material Curls.
And what? That's just, you spell it.
That's literally Material. No underscores, and then no curls with a C. No underscore. No space. None of that stuff. Just, I hate when people have names.
Y'all got
like
a good name early though. That's tough. Yeah. Like,
how'd y'all come up with the name?
We're both curly hair girls, and we're woodworkers, so materials, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And we looked at like 60 names that were already taken. We were like, wait, this one's available?
Yeah.
This
is us. In a moment, Kat said it, and she was like, Material Curls, and we were like,
perfect.
Yeah. That's the one. That's the one. And we still know it's the one now, because when we tell people, like, what's your Instagram? We're like, Material Curls, and they're like,
kind of dope.
That's dope.
When he told me, I was like, yeah, that sounds dope. And then I looked at the content. I was like, oh, that's cool as hell. Yeah. Like, yeah, we got to get them on the show. Yeah, that's cool.
They here. What made y'all start Material Curls?
Danette had bought a house.
What is Material Curls?
Okay, that's a good question. And we still trying to figure out the answer. Oops, sorry. That's a good question. We still trying to figure out the answer.
Is it you alley-ooping? I was passing it off, slam dunk.
Yeah.
Well, so we're both homeowners. I just bought my house. I'm not going to say just anymore because it's like been over a year.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's expensive. Everything you have to do is like you got to call a plumber, you got to call an electrician, you got to call everybody. Just buying furniture, doing everything, getting it all together.
Right.
It takes years. And we were like, Kat hit me up one day and was like, I'm going to buy a tool set. And I was like, bitch, what?
That sounds like Kat.
Yeah. Right.
She wasn't with it initially, though.
So we go to Home Depot, and she's like, this is the one. I'm going to get this one. I was like, you know what? Me, too.
I thought we were going to share it, and she was like, no, I'm just getting one, too. We had two big carts at Home Depot just stacked with tools.
Okay. Y'all got the big tool
like
set.
Like, the tool set, like circular saw, reciprocating saw,
y'all went
drill.
All the way
like,
in. All the way.
Listen, it's all or nothing.
Nah, no doubt. So y'all got, like, a workstation kind of thing?
Yeah.
So we made a workshop in Kat's garage, and that's our space. We just
Danette made another, like, you know how when you stay in a townhouse how you have that little storage closet outside?
Yeah.
She turned that into a workshop.
Material curls. Look at that.
Check us out on YouTube, of course.
Yes. There's YouTube. What's your YouTube?
All material curls.
Everything's material curls across the board. TikTok, YouTube, Instagram.
Y'all be on that TikTok?
That's it. Not.
It's about to get banned soon.
Yeah, so
Trump's banned.
We didn't really start on it for real, mm-hmm. so we not too.
TikTok is hard. Like, just filming in general is kind of hard because it's real projects. So I really have stuff that I need to get done, but then I want to set up a camera. It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of production, a lot of stop and go. Yes. Like, don't nail that. Hold on.
Right.
Exactly. You know? Exactly.
How long y'all been doing this?
August 26th will make a year.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, right. So it's coming up. And it's crazy to think about how far we've come in that
That's
year.
Crazy because I started Meds, Drinks, and Chill in August. Like, my first release was in August something.
So we're on the same time.
Exactly.
Here.
That's crazy. We're coming up in
party.
Yeah. That was the plan. My 1 year anniversary was supposed to be a live show. But
COVID
fucked everything up,
yo,
man.
COVID.
Yeah, and it's not looking like it's going to be a opening up.
COVID is a nasty bitch.
Yeah, it really
is. She ain't playing out here.
What's some of your favorite projects?
Y'all started from nothing, like not knowing anything.
We did not know nothing.
I called my dad for everything.
He's probably tired of your ass.
Like, dad, can you nail this picture frame into the wall? Like, literally everything I called my dad for. And
what's your favorite project?
I'm going to go with my laundry room is my favorite project. It was the first one, and it was a big one to do first. Like,
so what did you
do? I had no business. So I took out all the shelves that were in there. They're like wire shelves that just come with a regular house.
Right.
And I put in wooden shelves, and then I have front-loading washing machines and dryers.
Mm-hmm.
So I have like a folding table on there now so my socks can't go to the back.
It's a countertop.
So I just pull it all out. I would say that I pull it all out and I fold it on top, but I don't. It just
piles
up on top.
I should have took a picture of it before.
It just piles up on top.
Nobody's going to
hit you on that. The laundry rooms, they dope. Even the one you did at the crib.
Yeah. like 85% done.
Kat is almost done. YouTube on that coming out.
Yes.
Yeah, YouTube is being hilarious.
Oh, my gosh.
It's just us being us.
It is.
Yeah.
And there's nothing better than just not knowing what you're doing and just hoping for
the
best.
A lot of behind the scenes kind of like.
How many videos do you have up there?
17. That's real specific.
That's real specific. Yeah, I was like, damn.
Somebody been Googling herself.
Right. Somebody been definitely Googling.
I just looked at it.
Yeah.
But it's funny because I lost my train of thought.
It's all good.
The videos, 17 videos.
So do y'all have 9-to-5s also, or do y'all just, this is all y'all do?
I'm a flight attendant on a regular day before the pandemic.
Yeah.
How's that going since the pandemic?
Long story short, I took a leave of absence. So I've been off work for 4 months and I still have 3 more months off. I took a 7-month leave. Yeah. So before that, it was really hard because we can't build together if I'm not home.
Right. Yeah.
So I was away and I would literally be like, I just got off my flight. There's a flight to Charlotte in 15 minutes. I'm just running across the airport to go catch that flight. So it was really hard to do.
Yeah.
But in my decision to take the leave, I was like, you know what? I could put more effort into material curls and see where this goes. And not that I won't need my job later, but at least I have.
Eventually.
That's the plan. Of course, you know, that's always the plan to just
hopefully it takes off.
Yeah.
No pun intended, by the way.
I like what you did there.
Thank you, my brother.
We need this button. It's funny because you talk about your job first, and then when I talk about mine, I'll be like, I work in insurance.
it's still a job.
Life insurance?
Job.
So how do you balance having a 9-to-5 with trying to be also an entrepreneur. Well, being an entrepreneur.
I don't.
85% done over here. No, I'm just joking.
Our personalities don't match our jobs. Like, mm-hmm. Kat is the bubbly one and should be a flight attendant, and I'm the dry one that should be an insurance adjuster. But I think our jobs, like, bring so much into what we're doing. Mm-hmm. Like, for me, as far as customer service goes, like, everything my job has taught me, all of my customer service jobs have taught me, has been, like, what the customer wants, like, focus on who your mm-hmm. primary customer is,
right.
And see what they want and answer those questions, answer their solutions.
Yeah.
So you're looking at that part. On Kat's end,
I argue all day. I always say I'm a professional arguer. Yeah. I negotiate.
Your job is to shut down
planes. All right.
You're not getting paid.
Exactly.
I don't shut them down necessarily, but if you want $100,000, I might give you $5,000.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to give you $10,000, bro.
So
but, you know, that's in negotiation. They always tell you to go high if you're the one negotiating, because they're going to try to undercut you.
And that helps us. Like, we have lately started getting some contracts and just things with big companies, and
you've been able to negotiate.
Yeah, I'm the behind the scenes paperwork girl because.
Yeah. And I always be telling, like, shoot high.
But you don't want to scare them away either.
Yeah, that's true.
Balance.
It's definitely about balance. And that's the thing with negotiating it. Not toot my own horn, but it does take skill, because when you underbid somebody so much, they won't even respond to you.
Yeah.
But if you keep it fair, but be like,
Try to push that line.
Yeah.
So it's a back and forth. It is.
And people shit on 9-to-5s, like, you working a 9-to-5, like, you need to create a business. But people don't realize is, like, they're giving you the cheat code at whatever job you have.
Exactly.
Like, if you want to own a boutique, go work at Old Navy. Exactly. They're going to show you exactly what they're doing. It's so much free game
out here. It's literally
so much free game.
Free game that you still paying me to take. Like, people don't.
I use a lot of my knowledge in the production world from all the stuff that I learned through the finance world.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Everything. So you take that 9-to-5, and that's going to get you, that's going to feed you.
Plus
while
dollars.
I was about to say, and don't forget the money you get.
Yeah. Like, the money you're getting paid, like, that's paying your rent, that's doing everything. Mm-hmm. You can eat, you can learn 9-to-5.
And fund your entrepreneurship.
Yeah, and then 6-to-10 or whatever, you take everything you're learning from here and bring it in here.
But that's the problem. Something people don't do the 6-to-10 part.
That's the main problem.
People get off work and they tired. I told Mez the other day, I said, I literally get off my work computer and then I get on my laptop and do things for Material Curls. Yeah. I have no break.
Never mind, Mez, Josie. Like, family stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, and Josie fit right in. Josie be knowing.
He'd be in the videos and everything.
Our last post was shot by Josie.
He took the picture.
Low key, come bring him to the studio. We get him trained up. By the time he's 5, he chew.
He might mess around and start. Yeah, he might start
shooting his own podcast.
Exactly. Might be a cameraman or something. But yeah, you're right, though. People do be shitting on 9-to-5s. And it's like, I think Dame Dash really, I know you fuck with Dame Dash heavy.
Super heavy.
I fuck with him heavy. I love his message, but his approach and the way he talks to people is, that's the bad part. But at the same time, he was shitting on 9-to-5s. And I'm like, bro, there's so many people like who fund their dream through their 9-to-5.
Yeah, but what I think it is the mentality. Like, some people have a 9-to-5 mentality and they just get stuck. So
that's disgusting.
To me, I think he's more thinking of that, like, don't put yourself in a position where you're just always going to be subservient. Think of yourself.
I think there's another word for that. Like, that's complacency. That's not, like, you're not shitting on the 9-to-5. Like, that's legit feeding you. But if you're complacent with that 9-to-5, that's the issue.
Yeah. See, that's what it is. The hustler mentality is always to get more. So if you're just like, I'm going to work this and then just go home and do nothing.
Yeah.
You're going to be there 30 years.
Like, yeah. Because I've heard people get a job, they're like 3-4 years in, and they're like, well, you know, another 15 to 20 years.
Stop.
I'll retire. And I'm like, nigga, that is scary.
Stop.
Oh, I've heard people say that so many times.
That's how I feel about being a flight attendant. Like, all these flight attendants now with the pandemic, like, we don't even know that we're going to have jobs in October when that time comes around. Like, they're talking about furloughs, and everybody's like, I don't know what I'm going to do. This was my life. And I'm like,
what?
There's no way you let someone else's dream be your life. There's no way.
I think that might be 80% of people.
See, the 2010 recession, because I was working in finance and all that, and I was like, bro, I can't just stay here waiting for them to pay me. I got to find a way to make something.
What was that? 08, actually.
08 or something. Somewhere around there. Like, I lost a job because, you know, the banks and everything. And I used to
that shit was hell.
At the time. So it was just like, what? I got to find a way. And we just
transition. This is definitely a wake-up call.
Yeah.
It's definitely pulling people out of that complacency, out of that comfort zone.
But I think a lot of it, too, is, I don't know about everybody, but it's our parents. Like, our parents grew up in a different generation and different time frame. So when we say we're doing something outside of the box, they get nervous.
They do.
They had pensions. They had... They had like
it's
these,
different.
These
yeah.
different world than, than the
and our parents came from a different country, so they were like
that's a whole nother
nigga. Like you have to work
it's
a job.
Very straight arrow.
Like, yeah, just, they don't see outside the box at all.
And see, the immigrants, you can't talk to them. They were making like 10 cents a day back
exactly.
there.
Exactly. So you come here and get like $10
They're like, oh my god, what are you, what's wrong with you? I'm like, bro, like I'm not trying to be there, but I understand where you coming
exactly.
from.
Exactly.
Even college. Even college, like being, I was the first one in my family to get a degree, and it was so important. To get a degree, like get a degree, get a degree.
Not using
I'm not using it. I hated school.
Spent
it,
80
it,
grand.
It was such a waste of money.
Man. Now you went to Temple, right?
I went to Temple. I loved Temple.
The experience.
I love the experience. I love being in Philly. Like I'll never take that away from it. But as far as my classes go and what I wanted to learn, I felt so constricted.
Yeah.
Like if I wanted to learn, my major was journalism, but if I wanted to learn anything about marketing, here's another $5,000 I got to pay. Like what am I doing here if I can't learn what I want to learn? I'm paying all this money and I can't learn. But it's just our parents are like, you got to do this. You got to do
this. The system.
What you going to say?
I was the same thing he said. It's our parents, but it's also the system. Like when you're 18, you don't know what you want to do.
No.
Like you don't know yourself. You don't know anything. Like there should really be... 18, you graduate from high school. You got 2 years, 3 years to kind of get an idea and then go to school for that.
Now, you know, people don't know this, but if you get accepted to a school, you can defer for a year.
Yeah, you can defer.
The rush, the
rush. A lot of people don't know that.
The rush of
you can literally defer for a year.
The way the world says, you're 18, you got to go, da-da-da.
Yeah.
Nah, if I'd have known what I know now, I would have waited a year, got some money, put some money together, been able to go with a like.
Or not even the money. You couldn't figure out what you wanted to do.
What I wanted to do.
Or even go to community college for the first year.
That's what I did.
Get all those intro classes out the way.
Because what are you paying thousands of dollars out of state for intro classes?
My first 2 years was worthless.
Yeah.
Like,
I learned nothing. I really didn't.
Same.
Until I got to the...
The crazy part, I graduated high school at 17, and I literally would tell my dad, like, yo, I don't want to go to college. Like, I don't know what I want to do. And he's telling me his thing, what he thinks I should do. And I'm like, I don't like any of those ideas because those are your ideas on me.
That's what he would like to do.
Yeah, but I'm like, I don't want to, like, computer science. I don't give a fuck about computers. Mm-hmm. And I went into, like, my first year and a half not just doing whatever he wanted me to do. And then after, like, the first 2-3 years, I was like, yo, this shit is a waste of money. And I got my associate's degree after a couple of years. Then I went to UNC Charlotte. And then I was just like, this shit is a waste of time. And I dropped out.
And making more money probably now.
But the crazy thing is, I had, speaking of hustles and jobs, like I always kept different hustles and I always had a job. So I was paying everything out of my pocket. Like I have no student loans, no nothing. Like everything I paid out of my pocket.
And that's it's hard because we come from like a line of hustlers, right?
Yeah.
So like they're telling me to go to school and I'm broke.
But they're hustling it up.
They're hustling and making 30, 40, 50 grand, 60 grand. And I'm like, why y'all telling me to go to school?
Exactly.
Y'all really. So and a lot of those people that was hustling are millionaires.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And I'm over here looking at y'all like, I got a debt.
Thank God I don't have any debt.
School is not for hustlers.
Yeah.
And that's what I truly, like, I've always been a hustler.
Yeah.
Have three jobs at a time at times. And it's just because I want every source of income because in 10 years, 20 years, I'm chilling.
Seven streams of income?
Yeah. Make you, for sure. And I also, any hustle, whether it was legal or illegal, I always made sure it was...
The thoughts on this podcast.
But my thing is, like, I made sure everything that I did was in the flow of my day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, it was nothing that I had to go outside of my, like, I'm talking about my hustles. Like, if I sold shirts, if I sold anything,
club tickets,
like, club tickets, if I threw parties, it was
sold some other stuff
with my daily things, so where I'm not going out of my way. So it doesn't feel like I'm hustling or having another job.
Yeah.
I'm already in the club, so.
And that's another thing. Exactly. Yes, like, I was going to the club so much to the point I'm like, I need to start throwing parties instead of coming to the party every day.
Man, what?
I want to be making money in here, not spending money.
Exactly. Because once you start making money in the club, you really start to feel stupid when you go in there and spend the money.
Yeah.
Listen.
Yeah.
We met bartending.
Yeah.
So, like, being in the club, we were, like, literally when you go there, if there's not already a bottle in a VIP section for me.
Yeah. I don't want to be here.
I'm gone. Yeah, I'm out.
Exactly. Because like standing in line makes me feel so weird now.
No.
I used to spend $40 to skip lines. I was like, what was I doing, bro?
Like, exactly. Like, we were not going to stand in line. Like,
I can't do a line.
And that's when I stopped going, and I was like, I'm just going to go to parties with people that I know.
Yeah.
So at least the money going to my homie.
Exactly.
And then he's going to take care of me.
Yeah.
Versus
these
white clubs would just treat
me. They're making any rule about what you're wearing, like no shoes,
no
hat, sneakers.
No shoes.
No, yeah, he'd be like, come on, bro.
You know the one thing I cannot stand about black clubs?
What's that?
Our prices are so ridiculous. Like when you go to White Bar, you get a shot for $4 or $5.
Yeah.
But that comes with ownership.
They own the money. They own the flow.
That's true.
Like if I'm renting the club from somebody or have a lease with somebody,
that's true.
I have to make a certain amount. But if I own the club, I can give out $3 shots.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I'm already getting it at the low.
But that's as a customer, you don't give it.
Yeah, as a customer, you don't care.
You don't care. Yeah.
I walk in and y'all shots is $13. Yeah. I'm ready to go.
$12 for Hennessy, bro? For
yeah.
Like, come on, man. Yeah.
Close work, it'll be $13.
Listen.
Damn.
$13.
Don't let it be CIAA's $15 now.
But see, that's why we used to get the bottles. You might as well get a bottle.
Might as well. If there's a couple of y'all, get a bottle.
And that's what we did.
The easiest way to do it.
You got 20, you got 20. We just put everybody put the 20 up. There you go, bro.
Be like, you got 50.
So, I got a topic for y'all too. Matter of fact, while we're here, we were talking about off air about, you know, blackness as far as like what makes you black.
You mean like a hood pass
or just like you know
your black card?
Yeah, there's
black
card. Matter of fact, there's a game called Black Card Revoked.
Like
really?
Yeah.
Oh, I've never heard of that.
They're not paying me for this, so if y'all want to throw us some free cards or whatever, but so. All right, so I want to ask the material across some of these questions.
Yeah,
so y'all ask them. I'm going to ask y'all, and then y'all answer them, and then we're going to see how black y'all are.
Come on, man. Y'all keep a score.
Oh, okay.
No, we ain't going to keep a score. Okay. We just want to, because
it's a winner or loser, though. We might not be
Do we talk about our backgrounds or no?
After? Yeah, okay. And see, I wanted to get y'all answers and then see where y'all came from. All right, so do y'all play spades?
Yes.
No.
Oh.
Then that's not black.
No. Okay, all right.
And you probably don't get the opportunity to play spades
because
no one is willing to teach me.
I'm not taking it.
I do have a friend that just recently taught me. I still don't say I know how to play because he taught me like long distance. So he taught me through an app.
Right.
So I've never played at a table.
Yeah, no, it's different.
So so as far as I'm concerned, I've never actually played. Do I kind of
spades will fuck up a friendship?
No, yeah,
will fuck up a party.
Apparently,
will fuck up a lot of shit. Like
it causes tension in relationships.
Yeah, dude, it will. Yeah.
So okay, so my issue with black people in spades is, if everybody's like, oh, you don't know how to play spades, and I'm like, all right, bet, teach me. They're like, I ain't going to teach you. So how am I going to learn if nobody wants to teach me?
So, you got to ask to be taught when people ain't ready to play spades.
Yeah, but like, that's like, who got a deck of cards then? It's like, nigga, what?
We all got a deck of cards.
Like, teach me how to play spades, but we're not going to play. I'm going to be like, nigga,
I'm
what?
Gonna teach you.
Yeah,
I'm
there's
gonna
no
teach
point.
You.
Yeah.
Nah,
but I get what you're saying, though.
When you're in a moment and everybody looking for partners, you're not going to get
it. Like, you got to play saying, all right, we're going to play, but this doesn't count for nothing. Like,
you got to go play pickup with you and your homie by yourself. If you try to go play a game, we're not going to choose you. You suck.
But when do you just have four people willing to play at the same time?
That's the problem.
That's not normal.
That's true.
So when am I supposed to learn?
Oh, all right, so another question 22. To see if you're black or not. Approximately how long did Sophia fight for her from The Color Purple? Have y'all seen The Color Purple?
I have seen The Color Purple.
Oh,
you
God.
Have seen The Color Purple?
Danette. Danette, I haven't seen it either.
Whoa, man.
Yes,
okay.
Mez. This is Mez saying that.
Whoa.
The Color Purple.
I've never seen that movie.
I thought better of you, brother.
The crazy thing is,
who are you with?
Wait, what?
I've caught clips of it. But I've never. But I know some of the stuff just through jokes. Like you hear so many jokes.
So can I answer the question?
Yeah. So how long did Sophia fight?
All her life.
All my
life.
Okay. So I've heard that.
All right. That's so, yeah, see, all my life. That's you've heard it.
Okay, so I've heard that, but I don't know who Sophia is.
See, if I would have heard that question, I would know the answer just because I've heard it through music, through pop culture. Like, I've heard that before.
Yeah.
But you don't know the reference, though. Someone's like, why?
Why? I don't know.
You wouldn't understand.
Yeah. Okay, but I mean, so, probably because of Sealy. Is
yeah,
that
the relationship she had with Harpo. She, with Harpo?
Oh, with Harpo. All right. Yeah. See, I, some of the, yeah.
See, exactly.
We no idea. Watch.
Now, side note, Color Purple was shot in North Carolina right here in Marshville.
That I didn't
about,
know.
45 minutes down the road.
Definitely didn't know that.
Yeah, a lot of the
North Carolina facts right there.
Yeah, I hope y'all ready to watch The Color Purple tomorrow.
Yeah, y'all gotta watch it. Watch I'm just watch it. Y'all need to just take a day.
It's a good movie.
We should get a projector and do like
in the backyard.
Yeah.
And play spades, too.
Just knock it off.
Right,
the blackest cookout ever.
The blackest party ever.
So I guess technically I'm not, because that's one of them things when I tell people I've never watched that's it from like beginning to end, they'd be like, you're not black. So I guess, all right, so a scrub is a guy
that thinks he's fine, also known as a busta.
I knew they would know that.
Though. That's pop culture.
But, yeah, it is.
That's, I should say mainstream cultures. Which but is it's also black culture, though.
Yeah, it's black culture, but it became mainstream.
It is mainstream, though.
But it became, but it's black culture.
Black culture has always been mainstream, though. I'm one of
not always.
It
always
becomes mainstream later on.
Exactly.
Like, we got it this year, and everybody
else. Yeah, like, by the time they figured out,
we're on to the next one.
Right.
They just be late.
They just be late.
All right, but all right, speaking of the scrubs, where did the scrubs sit?
On the passenger side.
Yeah,
I was best friends.
I was best
friends. Exactly.
Friend
all right, so I figured y'all knew that one. That was a gimme.
I felt a way about that song.
I just sung on his mic.
Every nigga did, because I'm like, what if I got my car, bruh, I just decided to jump in sci-fi whip today.
Sometimes I'm a side driver. Am I scrub? Yeah.
I mean, I guess I'm a scrub. Or what was the guy version? Pigeon? Because I mean, yeah. Passenger
side. Shout out to Sporty Thieves.
Sporty Thieves.
Yeah.
You black as hell for that.
I'm telling you,
I didn't
black.
Know his name.
Nah, there was a group. It was
yeah.
a group.
You hood.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You
there's
hood.
There's black and then there's hood.
Yeah. Man. All right, so
see, that's we're gonna talk about the
there's a difference between black and hood
because yeah. there's nerd blackness. Yeah.
But see, that's the thing. That's how they. This is the thing. There's a black meter, and that's what I.
That's what we get into.
So, all right. So, can y'all name one of the black kids from the Little Rascals?
Nope.
What?
Oh yeah.
I'm about to say you better be.
Hold on. Yes. Damn, I know his name.
Y'all not black. Mm. But then again, also...
That's old.
Yeah, that was about to say generational, too.
Yeah, I think that's that might general. Be
sci-fi. Sci-fi, can you help him?
What's your boy? It's the dude, because...
I know
Eddie Murphy played him in when he got
exactly.
older.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think this is before my time.
Spanky one. I
mean,
no,
so.
Spanky's
a white boy.
He's white.
Oh.
Buckwheat.
Okay.
Yeah,
Buckwheat.
I was going to get there.
And Stymie. And Stymie, I think.
Stymie. He's the one with the voice, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Like
yeah.
a frog voice.
See, so y'all not black. Y'all not black on that one.
No,
you
sci-fi,
you
not
black either.
50.
I see.
Now, I pointed out the reference it was connected to.
But you didn't know
to.
His name. That's
I was going
to
get there, but. Kind of no. drunk.
But I feel like that might be an age thing.
Nah, it is.
I don't
it is.
Know
it is an age
about.
Thing.
Yeah. My dad watched Little Rascals.
But they had the movies in the 90s that came out. That was big.
I only know the
but
Rascals
when in the
90s? From
like
I
the
was,
early,
mid-90s? I was born in 90, so
yeah.
I need some time.
That's true.
She needs a moment.
Right. Can y'all name at least three of the Wayans brothers?
Oh, come on.
Marlon.
Uh-huh.
Do you stop?
I know their names.
Kanan.
Okay. Kanan, okay.
That's and the one from My Wife and Kids.
His name is?
Dwayne? There's Kenan, no. there's Marlon, there's...
Yeah, I should know the other one who's on the Wayans Brothers.
The gay one.
Yeah. We're gonna have to edit that one out.
Yeah.
Cause he'd get mad about
Sean.
That. Sean, there we go.
Cause we all know, he be... But it's not that he's gay, but all his characters... Especially the screen.
Oh, Sean. Yeah. He's like the younger one.
No, no.
First
he's,
of all,
he's,
y'all didn't
no,
say
he's
no.
right. He's right older
he's
than.
The, like, the
he's
head,
older
I
than
say, like,
Marlon.
He's Marlon's
Marlon's
older
the
brother.
Funnier one.
Marlon yeah. is the one I like.
They was both on the Wayans
oh,
Brothers.
Oh, okay.
And White
yeah.
Chicks. They was both on White Chicks.
First of all,
exactly.
Y'all don't know Damon Wayans. I'm kind of.
No,
Damon.
She did. She,
oh,
that's
yeah.
the one she's talking about. My Wife and Kids.
I just
yeah.
couldn't think of his
Major
name.
Payne.
Major Payne.
Oh,
that
Major
was a classic.
Because
yeah.
Damon to me is the funniest one.
Funniest one.
Yeah. It's yeah. Damon, then Marlon.
I like yeah. Marlon. He's cute.
Yeah.
What?
Hey.
The retarded looking one?
Right.
Whoa, whoa. You can't say that.
I'm sorry.
That's getting edited.
That's cut out.
Okay.
Don't
say that.
All right, so give me five on the.
What?
Give me five on the.
Man, that's
don't,
hood.
Don't,
though.
Don't.
That's hood,
yeah, but
I feel like you got to sing it.
No, it's not.
No, that's not a song.
Is that like a bodega thing?
No. Give me five on the.
I don't know the answer.
Black hand side.
Cricket.
What?
Give me five on the black hand side.
Still don't know what you're talking
about. I think that's generational, bro.
Is it?
I mean, that's old.
Give me five on a black hand side.
I was born in 1990. I just want to put that disclaimer out here.
Stop saying that. That's not young.
I just feel like
no, that is,
you're 30, bitch.
I think I'm the youngest one in this room, am I not?
That's true.
But like this.
Okay, just throw it out on me. Like, fuck y'all old niggas. You know what I'm saying?
I'm late 87.
You're literally 88, though, kind of.
All right, basically. Yeah.
Late 87? Did she say late 87?
You missed all of 87.
I'm December 87.
Oh, man. All right, so yeah, basically, I was just talking about, like, you know, there's a black meter.
So, coming to what America early in pre-production, we found out someone in this.
I just recently watched it.
We know you're born 1990.
1990, we get it.
I wasn't going to say that. I was going to say that that is the one thing that everybody's like, you ain't seen Coming to America? What? Yeah. And I'm like, I don't.
It's a great movie, that's why.
I think we saw it, though, because we were African. Like, we had to, like,
didn't see it until adulthood.
I was with you when you first watched it. Like, when she told me she never watched, I was like, I had the DVD. Still in a wrapper, though.
Still in a wrapper.
I had to break the wrapper
out.
I was like, oh, no, this is a perfect time for to watch it.
That's what like, I know he was like, I don't know about this relationship. Right. I don't know about this girl.
She should have showed me Color Purple, too, then.
Could have been an even exchange.
Right.
Like, what, Sealy?
Right.
For my ex's birthday, he always made fun of me for not knowing anybody's movies. So for his birthday, I was like, here's a popcorn machine and some snacks, and I'm going to have a Red Bull, and we can watch two movies that you just feel like I need to know. And the choices were Coming to America and some Prince movie. I don't know.
Some Prince movie? Oh, yeah.
Wait a minute.
Get her out of here, bro. Get her out of here.
This is it. We're out of here. That was another episode of Mesh, Drink, and Chill. We got to wrap it up, y'all.
Some bullshit ass 80s movie because I'm a 90s.
See her hand. Like, she literally,
she, like, flames it off.
Prince movie. What movie could she possibly
disrespect Prince
movie? Yeah, you had my respect until you.
Purple Rain?
Purple. That last song, too?
Listen. Remember when we went to that Prince concert?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. We actually so got lucky. To see him.
I sold them tickets, and I was like, yo, I'm going to see him later because I had to do something, bro. And
ain't no later.
That was an experience.
Damn. I'm so happy I went to go see him.
Yeah. That was an experience.
It broke my heart.
And the crazy thing is, one thing about Prince is, like, it was grown-ass men in there, like,
fangirling.
Yeah. That was some part of the show to me. I'm looking around at grown-ass men.
Crying.
Like, look at these niggas. Like, hands up, singing, dancing, twirling around. I'm like, what the fuck going on? I'm just glad he didn't come out with his ass cheeks out. You know them pants he used to always wear?
The chapless.
Yeah. The women liked it.
The Mez was so worried about Prince looking him in his eyes. Like,
I was like, don't look
at him. He would look at me, he would turn. Bruh, he can't see you up here.
I mean, I forgot.
It was Jamie Foxx. That's where I was getting like, a joke from.
Yeah. He was like, he mesmerized me. Yeah. Like, I was like, what does that mean, bro? Like, just don't look at his eyes. Like.
Right. So growing up, so you're black meter, right? So Kat, you're African-American.
Yes.
Born and raised in America, right?
Yes.
And then Danette, your background is?
My mom is Puerto Rican from
Puerto Rock,
from New York, and
suavemente,
my dad.
Suavemente,
I'd like to go now. And my dad is from Jamaica.
Oh, Jamaica, man!
Right. I was gonna say, where y'all songs at?
You're a motherfucking eccentric ass nigga, huh?
Right. So she grew up eating roti and.
I mean, but then.
No, roti is. I think that's Trinidad.
No, that's Trinidad.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So plantains?
No. Have patties, man. Come on.
Yeah, we had patties. We had beef patties. We had oxtails. You know,
roast con pollo at your mom's house.
Yeah.
You was thick. No, I mean, you was eating good.
Yeah. Not thick.
Not thick.
Just to be clear, I'm skinny.
Slim.
The food.
We say slim now.
When I tell you her housewarming was lit.
Oh, my housewarming.
My goodness. She had everything there.
Invite me because I love both of those cultures.
So I hit up both of my parents and I was like, let's have a competition for my housewarming.
Wow.
Yes. Right. So they both threw down. My mom made pastelitos. Mm. And rice and all that stuff. My dad made oxtail. What else do we have
chicken.
There? Jerk chicken.
Yeah. It was empanadas.
Oh, my God, empanadas.
I didn't eat meat all no more, but I would have probably ate meat that day.
Yeah. It was pause. So I don't eat beef, but when my dad throws down
oxtail.
Whoa.
See?
We're going to
say nothing again. Around this guy. Like, there's always a pause with you New York ass.
I mean.
Nah, but she definitely had
I'm a vegetarian,
type of food.
Okay?
Yeah. But in that sense, growing up, and then I grew up here in Charlotte back in the 90s. I'm going to keep saying
Stop
that.
Saying
but it wasn't nearly as diverse as it is now.
Yeah, for
so
sure.
So really, like, I had my household. mm-hmm. which was my mom Puerto Rican, my dad Jamaican, and then I had school, which was white.
Oh man, you just so like us. You grew up like us.
Nah, I grew up with all type of cultures.
Mm-hmm. Nah, but see, you grew up in New York. That's different. I'm talking about Charlotte. Yeah. The Charlotte cats here. It was you got the Eritrean life, and then you got white. The white life.
Yeah,
and that was it for like. Through the 90s.
Yeah, so my parents aren't watching Coming to America. My parents aren't listening to, like, Jodeci and all that stuff. Like, my parents aren't doing that stuff. I'm listening to Barris Hammond and Elvis Crespo and all this stuff. Like, I'm not...
Yeah.
I'm not, like, my...
Buju in the building, you know what I'm saying?
My childhood was very different than an African-American. And that's where, when it comes to, like, are you black, like... I consider myself a black woman, but
you
then when it comes to when it comes to black
flavor.
Things, I have to say, like, I'm not African American. And when I say that, I don't know how people are going to take to it, but I have to explain that, like, I'm not African American to the point where I that wasn't in my household. The cultures that you guys have, the cookouts, the fried chicken, the spades, that wasn't in my household. I didn't have that. I had Domino's.
Yeah. Domino's. You know? Oh, the game.
They probably played
pizza. Not pizza.
Y'all was ordering Domino's and y'all got fucking
You're not American, though.
The game Domino's. Nah, we didn't have spades.
They probably played
Romino.
They probably played all the off-immigrant
right,
games.
Right, right, right.
I learned how to play Domino's at your house.
I still don't know how to play Domino's.
What?
Well, so how was your upbringing?
So, for me...
What did y'all listen to?
You from Charlotte?
No, I'm from Akron. I was born in Dayton. I grew up in Akron,
Ohio. Okay, yes. Ohio in the building.
Right. But for me, it was hard, too, because I grew up in the hood, but I went to an all-white school.
Wow.
So, from third grade till eighth grade, I was literally the only black female in my class.
That sucks.
So, I was around white people all day, but at home, it was people with a completely different experience. So, my neighbors kind of thought I was a little stuck up, and I thought I was better because I had a different day experience. And then at school, I was still black. So,
right.
Yeah.
And I grew up in the Bronx, so...
See, that's different. That's you grew up in a melting pot.
Every fucking body was there.
You had, like, the Dominicans down the street.
On my floor, just in my building floor, we had an Asian, a Hispanic, which was Dominican, and a Puerto Rican. It was us, the Africans, the Eritreans, so, and then it was an Islander also. Like, he was from Jamaica, right. And then people would just
Saint
move
Thomas,
in and out.
Saint Croix,
so, when you listen out the music, like, music that's playing out the window, you're hearing all type of music. Mm-hmm. I go to the bodega, you hear Spanish music. The block parties would play reggae. Hip hop is born in the Bronx. So I'm listening to all type of music.
Say New York is just a different experience.
Yeah, especially the Bronx.
And then it's because you have an experience outside of your family at home.
Yeah.
Like, it's in your building. It's like, on your street.
You walk out.
Like,
exactly.
You go to the park. We go home and it's home.
It's home.
It's home. You're,
and you know,
everything here is like suburban. Like, you don't really have apartment buildings.
You don't got a car. Mm-hmm. You really not.
Yeah. There's no sitting on the stoop and everybody's hanging out outside. There's none of that. So when you go home, it's literally your family and your parents and that's it. And then you go to school, and that's
it. And I was telling you last time, like, we had the old school radio with the door with the lock on it. Only
with
thing
the,
you could,
like,
press.
It's like 10 different machines.
Exactly.
Stereo system.
Only thing I knew how to press was power. And when you press power and the radio would play. And at the time, it was 80s rock.
Oh my gosh.
To this day, like, certain songs would come on, and I'd be singing along
to it. We built this city.
That's exactly. Yeah, we built this city.
If something like that comes on and you're singing, I'm like,
how the fuck do you know this shit?
Yeah,
it
like,
catches me off guard.
Guy.
But then I'll be knowing a song because I play rock bands.
Yeah.
He's like, why are we singing along to Living on a Prayer?
Exactly.
Oh, that's my jam now.
Broken Wings, songs like Phil Collins.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. You and Phil Collins.
Yeah, I love Phil Collins.
See, my mom's was a heavy, like, Rod Stewart, Phil Collins.
Yeah.
So, like, she was just obsessed about them.
Exactly.
Early James Brown, too. She felt crazy.
It's
Tupac. She liked Tupac, though.
Really? But your mom's a lot younger, too.
Yeah, she's pretty. Like, he's pretty, though. You know, like, he was a very, like, he looks nice. I don't know what he's saying.
When I tell you, my dad is probably one of the biggest Tupac fans.
For sure.
Like, my dad... Yeah. I knew church music because of my mom, and then I knew Snoop Dogg and Tupac from my dad because...
Two of America's most wanted.
Exactly.
My
after
daddy
playing them
lit.
Hymns after... Yeah.
Balance. Life is about
balance.
Oh, yeah.
But yin and yang, that's the beauty of life.
That type of shit shifts your life, too. Like, having balance, and then I moved to the South, which is like...
Culture shock for
you. Yeah, it was real culture shock because that was the first time I've been around white people. Like, the only white people...
Yeah, exactly what
she's
about
the only
say.
White people around was authority in New York, which is like...
Somebody can shoot you.
No, I'm talking about teachers.
When he told me that, my mind was so blown. Yeah. He was like, the only white people I knew was teachers.
Yeah, it was my teachers. And that was like early elementary, and it was usually older white women. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of like you really don't pay them no mind.
You're
like,
not connecting with them.
Nah, not at all. They're, just,
they're not trying to connect with you either.
At all. Like they teach you, and then they send you on your way. So I didn't know nothing about white people until I moved there. And even the N-word, like we spoke about it on one of the episodes before, and like nigga was some shit that everybody used. Mm-hmm. Hispanics, Asians, like I'm cool with so many Asians, like all type of Asians.
Not in the South.
Were just like us. Like they use the same words we do. They grew up like us. They ate the same shit we did.
Not in the South.
They were in our building. Insane. Yeah, like we were all the same. We didn't really look at it.
The white people called all of y'all niggas. That's why y'all were all the same.
In a derogatory term.
Right. But together, y'all were just...
Like y'all are a group in itself, and then it's them over here.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereby here...
We had a common enemy, I guess. I hate to say that word, but you know,
And we were just black niggas and white people. That was like my whole experience. So, and I don't want to call niggas as in, but there was that,
from their point of
from
view.
From their
you're
point
saying,
of view, that's what they're saying. It's like there's black people like y'all, and then there's niggers, and then there's white people, and then we had no, and then we had the immigrant lifestyle. So it was just, I didn't really appreciate diversity till I left Charlotte and went to different.
Yeah,
cities and saw like, and oh damn, Cali is
crazy.
Dope. New York is dope.
Because my experience is kind of the opposite of yours. Like growing up in Ohio, I always say Ohio got the coolest white people. Like,
no, they do. When I've been there, I was just, like, yo, everybody integrates with each other.
Right. Like I grew up in an all white school, and I didn't experience racism until I moved to the South. Yeah. Like I didn't like my white That's people. Crazy. Just in, like I always felt included when I worked in the office. I was pretty much the only black woman, so. I didn't experience that until I came down here.
The South
but
is different.
Yeah.
I also didn't experience diversity and culture until I moved to Charlotte. And that's why I really wanted to live here because I wanted my child to be raised with everybody. And in Ohio, it's black, white, mixed.
That's it.
And then it's like, where do you put yourself in? Like, I'm mixed, but like, I'm not white at all. So I don't really fit in with the white people. I'm not African American, so where do I fit in with the black people when they're telling me you haven't seen this movie, you haven't done this, and I'm like, I don't know, I don't fit in here. And then I don't speak Spanish, I'm not Spanish enough. I don't speak Patois, so I'm not Jamaican enough. Man. Like I'm just like
identity crisis.
Where am I? There's a huge identity crisis in that.
Right.
It's just
that's
like
crazy.
Like with you, you grew up with so many different cultures, like you could just kind of fit in wherever. Yeah. And for me, it's like everyone here is so like segregated in their own culture.
Super segregated.
Yeah. That is just like, well,
the South is different. Especially Charlotte.
I tell people all the time, I didn't really know, like, I would go to white schools, but I didn't know white people until I was like 16, 17. Because, like, my whole existence was the Eritrean in the hood. Like, so every day, this is the people I'm kicking it with, and I'm learning these other places.
Yeah.
But I don't hang with those people. We're not going to the same country clubs or.
Nah, we had our own
same
shit.
Event. Right. Yeah. So for me, they were just like these.
These they were just there.
People. They were there, you know, and I was just doing my thing. So until I was like, you know, an adult, it was just like, okay, oh, this is what white people are about. Yeah. Because I didn't know white people, like, from an intimate standpoint. You know, it was just, they were just these people that. Did things and I had to come back home afterwards. You know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly.
Like, it's funny. But. At Independence, there's like a mall area. I don't know if you've ever been in Independence at all.
I mean, I have. I'm not. I wasn't supposed to be there, but we'll talk about it.
Yeah, that's why I was like, you know, some people be in different schools.
We just
But at Independence, there's like a mall area and there's like a upstairs and a downstairs. And it was like all the people were downstairs. All the black people were downstairs and all the white people were like upstairs and in the hallways and stuff.
That's crazy.
So I always felt like Independence was predominantly black because that's what I saw.
Yeah.
But then, like, you look in the yearbook, you're like, well,
a
where
lot
are
of
all
white
these white people? Where was all these people? But it was just, we were all so segregated in the same school. Like, it's literally wild how
people
that
are
is.
Very cliquish. Like, even when you go to lunchroom, you had the nerds on one side, the jocks on one side, the people who played Pokemon or whatever the fuck they did over there, like
it's
the
just like the movie.
Over
immigrants,
you don't realize it in real life when it's happening,
but it's
just like the movie.
Structure. It wasn't, it wasn't by accident because I could see now looking back, like, oh, that's where the line was, and that's where.
But
the
it's just
was.
A natural thing, like
it's. I mean, you.
Well, what I'm saying
you
is
gravitate toward people,
exactly,
and that you have
in
common.
You might not notice somebody until you actually meet them.
In New York, though, it's natural to not be like that because it's. The system is set up to where y'all are all together.
But y'all are in the same level. Y'all live in the same apartment complex. Y'all eat in the same, like...
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, their system is set up to where you can have multiple different places, and we all in the same area, like the bodega, and in Four Corners have like.
It's crazy because you literally would never leave your block. Like, if you live there, it could be somebody who lives literally 10 minutes from you, and you never cross paths because you're so stuck in your block.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying in Charlotte, it's like, this is the white side of town. There was no bodega in South Charlotte. You're not going to see that. So why would I go there to interact? Like, these, we had zones, and then that just filtered into, like, regular life.
I kind of feel like that's still a thing now. Like, we live in university, and you're not about to find me in South Park.
Never.
We had a whole argument on university being like the successful black,
like affluent black area.
And somebody was arguing, "What is this South Park? Is that?" And we said, "No." But
South Park is more like, I don't know, it's like a richer area.
Yeah. To me, a lot of people in South Park are born into the money. Like, these houses have been passed down for generations. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
you
can
tell by the trees over there. Them just be fucking huge. Like, you know, you could tell the neighborhood by the trees. True. Listen,
just don't look at our little puny ass tree.
Yeah, I'll be looking at my tree like, you could tell this shit came here 7 years ago.
Yo, we got the worst tree in our neighborhood.
It's so flimsy.
it's bad.
Come on, bro.
But I mean, that's just the way it's set up. It's just... I didn't know anything different till I went to these.
Yeah.
What happened was I went to School of Science and Math, and then I got to see. I was like, oh, okay, we could not live like this, and it'd be cool. And then, like, when I went to Durham, then after I left Durham, I went to State. And then I was like, oh,
traveling is so important.
Traveling is so important.
Ooh, that part.
That opens up your mind to so much shit.
New York, Cali, Louisiana.
Even out the country, bro.
Out the country, Canada.
Yeah.
Europe.
Europe, yeah.
It's crazy.
I left Charlotte when I was a freshman. So my sophomore year, I started in Jersey. And so Jersey, I finished high school. Philly, I went to college. And then I came back to Charlotte. And I'm so glad I did that because I came back a completely different person. Yeah.
You just learned.
You learn so much. You learn so much about yourself. Like, there was so much about myself I didn't know, so much about just Charlotte
you
and
find
being
that identity.
And all this stuff.
You get out your comfort zone.
Out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
You figure out, like, I like that.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
Yeah. Exactly.
There's so much more than what I was doing here that now I'm good.
Charlotte is good about just giving you this program, right? Like, you only see this, and if you never leave Charlotte, this is what you feel life is like.
Right.
But it's also crazy because you think about leaving and you're like, I got to leave to find that stuff. But I was just telling Kat earlier today, I love Charlotte. Like,
I love it. I came back
and I was like, yo, this is where I want to be. Like, I love it here. I want to raise my family here. Like, I would never, like, I don't want to be anywhere else but Charlotte. But because of those experiences, I come back and I'm like, okay, I could bring all of that with me now.
Right.
And Charlotte is very vanilla. So you can put your implant here.
Yeah.
You can create a community and create a family and create like a little niche.
Exactly.
Because
it's still building.
So plain and so open and like
it's still in its beginning stages.
Bro, I know people that went to the south side of town. I ain't talked to them in years and they got a whole thing going on over there. Yeah. And it's like, oh man, it's a whole community.
I say your neighborhood is growing.
Like, crazy.
Oh my god, this right here.
Crazy.
When we first started the podcast here,
it was all of this was different.
It was empty over there. Like, I pull up sometimes after like a week or two. I'm like, yo, what the fuck? When did they put this house up?
Yeah, we got questions.
Like, my GD been working. They've been working.
Houses are nice.
Yeah.
What kind of TV shows did y'all watch? Like, black TV shows?
Good Times?
No.
No, that was way after they
came. I watched Good Times.
90s, I know.
Okay, I wasn't going to go there.
Right.
I watched Good Times, like, in my older days.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I watched Good Times when it was on, but I'm saying, like, as an adult.
So what others? Did y'all watch Martin?
I watched Martin.
Oh, come on.
No, don't see. He said, okay. Oh, come on. Like, it was in that. It's so it's many a, people it, I know.
I don't care for Martin. Yeah. I don't find it funny. I don't, like, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
What about
just,
Fresh Prince?
I don't love Fresh Prince.
See? That's always what happens. People who hate Martin.
Listen, you made a choice, though. You made a choice. Me too. You've watched Martin, though.
I've watched it. And I just, like, everyone I've ever dated is always like, oh, my God, let's watch Martin. I'm like.
I'm a sitcom freak, so I like all sitcoms.
Yeah.
See, so that's a different thing. I'm just
watching Wayans Brothers, Jamie Foxx show.
Love those.
Yeah, like that's what.
Martin's the only one I don't.
I love Martin. I love all of them, but I prefer Martin.
I know a lot of women that say that.
Does that make sense? There's like that. What is that like raccoon scene that everybody always laughs at? I'm like, yo, this is not funny.
She's like, it's trash.
I think it's one of them things where you have to have caught it in the moment.
Yeah.
Like when it aired?
When it aired, yeah. That was like
oh, in I don't the, know.
Because production you were only is like so five or six now.
Or seven,
yeah.
maybe.
Yeah. It just, yeah, I was like, this is not.
Like, have you ever tried to watch a show from back in the day now? You're like, this is terrible.
Because
like,
the production is trash.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like, that's because your in a, eyes are different.
Like, exactly. But then I appreciate what they were doing at the time. Like, exactly. I don't see it now, like, oh, how dare you not have graphics? But I look at it like, oh,
I mean, Fresh Prince is timeless, though.
I agree with that.
Timeless. Like, you can still watch these episodes.
But that's usually how it goes. People who don't care for Martin, as soon as you ask them, what about Fresh Prince? They're like, I love it.
It's normally the other side. It's one or the other.
I love both of them, though. Mm-hmm.
I just know a lot of women, or I've heard a lot of women say they didn't like Martin.
Yeah.
We watched Living Single, too.
Oh, yeah. Man, that was a great show.
Living Single was
I felt disrespected when they took that off the air. That was because they had stuff left to unravel.
Yeah.
Maxine and old buddy was just getting...
Kyle was that?
Kyle. Yeah, Barker. Yeah. Kyle Barker.
Yeah.
What platform is that on? I'm about to watch that.
Right. They might bring all that stuff back.
Netflix has just...
Oh, yeah.
They brought back whole Friends, Moesha.
Yeah, it's a whole bunch of shit they got to bring back. Yeah.
Okay. Not on the commercial.
Are we
going to
get this projector or not?
Yes.
I don't know if Living Single was in there, but I think... Most of the UPN lineup was...
Do y'all judge people on their blackness, like what they do or what they don't do?
I don't, mostly because of my experience with it.
So if you are a man and you marry a white woman, is that do you see that as losing points? Because a lot of people feel like that's a loss in blackness.
I don't. Because I come from a mixed, like an interracial couple, I can't judge that. Because if my parents, I'm going to be honest, like my grandparents were very racist, which is weird because.
That's crazy.
You
mean you're Puerto Rican?
My Puerto Rican grandparents, like my grandfather and.
That's not even I don't mean to cut you off, continue what you were saying, but that's not a surprise. Like most Hispanic. Most foreigners,
their own culture, but that's the thing.
Like my grandfather's parents were racist toward my grandmother, who's also Puerto Rican, but just brown.
Wow,
colorism is real.
So even like my mom coming in with a black man, a Jamaican man, they're like, what is this? But if she were to listen to that, I wouldn't be here. So
do
I could
you experience
never.
A lot of colorism. You are a fair skinned.
I'm going to say I experience a lot of side eye from black women. Mm-hmm. For whatever the reason may be, I don't really know, but that's always an issue I have.
Because of the mental picture of you're supposed to be, I don't want to say you particularly, but like, you know, fair-skinned women supposed to be like epitome of...
I've honestly never asked,
I don't know how you can ask that.
If I had a guess, but even just like on the airplane, like I'll be like, hi, welcome aboard, and I'll get a... And I'm like, for me, I'm nicest. I don't know how to say this, but like, I'm super nice to you because as far as I'm concerned, we the same. It's me and you, and that's it
it's
on
like
this
you're
plane.
You're seeing a homie, a friend, or somebody like you.
Yeah, like I
Is
don't
that
see
hard
too
to
many.
Like, deal with when you like you think you recognize this within them, and then
you get
that?
The side. Yeah, like it hurts sometimes. Like it's literally like. Yo, what did I do to you? Yeah. Like, I didn't come to you with a side eye, so why are you coming to me that way? Like, I literally greet you with a smile.
The hair and the, you're different. And so I grew up a lot with those.
Even
looks.
Just being African, you're like, well, you're black, but you're not black.
You're not black.
Like, nigga, what?
Like, that
what about
no
in the corporate
sense.
World with you, Kat?
Yes. Now, your experience is being the only. That's always a
Yeah,
because
I mean, even now, I am one of very few, and I'm definitely, I'm in my 30s, but I'm still on the younger end of what's in my office. So I get it from age, and I'm a woman, and I'm black. They be like,
get your ass out of here. That's the trifecta right there.
What did she say? Don't even worry about it. Like.
But then it's crazy because other black women treat me like shit too, because it's almost like you only got this job because you're cute. You only got, like, they never, anything that I do gets discredited because I'm light skinned.
Colorism is real.
But never the work. They never look at your work and be like, well, maybe you got the job because you're hardworking.
Right. There's always something else to it. And it almost feels like black women are harder on other black women in corporate, just in any situation where they feel like you could possibly. One up them, they not letting you ride at all.
Yeah.
So it's.
What about if you like as far as a manager? But, like, is it easier for you to deal with a manager that's a man or a woman?
Oh, y'all gonna be mad at me for this. My favorite manager is a white male. Yeah. Just because.
But white men treat black women
a lot
way differently.
Sorry, I'm gonna make this a blanket statement. White men love black women.
Yes, they do.
In general,
But for different. it's not necessarily like in some protection thing. It's more, I, and this is my opinion. Maybe I need to cut this out. But
no, speak on it because this is your personal experience. So it's not fact or fiction.
I see white men gravitate to black women more in the corporate workspace.
Yes,
because of almost an affection, like. Yeah, I would like to hang around y'all. I don't get the experience to be with y'all or be around
y'all. And it could be.
So I flock to y'all because of that.
We're the uniqueness.
The unicorn.
We're the unicorn. Yeah. Yeah.
But at the end of the day, if you are on the other end, you know what I mean?
It's a little bit of that, and it's also because they're so afraid to get in trouble that they're like on eggshells. Like,
I got to be extra nice. Yeah.
I got to be extra nice. So my best experience has been from white males. My worst have been black females. I actually have never had a black male leader. But
that's a whole nother problem in itself.
I've had some that weren't my direct ones, but like kind of on the floor. And I never enjoy those interactions. It's just always the... You trying to get at me.
Yeah.
Is it like that?
Yes.
Yeah.
And of course.
Yeah. If there's a black man leadership, I'm like...
I'm avoiding it.
Now, see, now it's weird. I want to defend black men in this moment because most of the times when you're at that level and you get to that level, your only experiences for dating or connecting with the opposite sex is in your workplace.
The views that you hear here are not part of men's
I don't know that I agree with that.
What I'm saying is the complexity of being a black male to get to that level, the dedication, the time. So when you see another one of you at that level, you're like, oh my gosh. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying they're not zealot or over...
Nah,
they might
course,
be overreaching.
They just feel like they have to shoot their shot.
But they got to shoot their shot because you're a smart black woman at a certain level. I don't get to see this. I see nothing but white women every day.
You spend so much time with them.
You
spend 8 to 9 hours with somebody.
I'm not saying they should. And I have a whole thing about you're a boss versus a worker thing. I always feel that should play over anything. But I can understand the...
And for me, as a manager, anytime it's a black woman who I always had the easiest with. Like, if I have a black woman as a manager, I can do anything I want. I can do no wrong. I get away with murder.
They're not going
to
tell on you.
We think about that at Home Depot. If we're trying to get away with something, we're like, oh, that's a black
cashier.
Let's go to that one.
But yeah.
Side note, this coconut Bacardi off the chain.
That was a good pick for y'all. Yeah, that was a good pick.
Cheers,
I like that.
Cheers. My cup's a good one.
Yeah. Mez drinks and chill. But yeah, anytime I had a black woman, it was just, I mean, I was about to stop.
That's my best.
But I think that's accurate. Experience. Like, black women support black men.
All the time. I say that about my podcast here all the time.
They support black men, but you don't get that same support for black women.
Like, when I do my analytics, Sci-Fi,
it's hard.
When I look at my analytics, it's always women. And of course, majority are black women or minority women who always support me. They're the ones who are always retweeting my shit, reposting my shit. Your homies will look at it and they just keep it moving. Like,
see, what I don't understand is from my experiences, like, everybody who ever showed me love in a particular position was a black woman. So when I hear black men say the retarded things that they say, I'm like, bro, that's the only people that ever show me love in the real world. Like, I don't know what experience you're having that is not like this one. Because
black women are so disrespected.
Yeah.
Like, we're too black for white people and we're not foreign enough for black people.
Man, that's crazy.
Black
you gotta be exotic.
Yeah, like, black men love a foreign exotic. So it's like we almost get pushed to the back burner.
That's crazy.
And then I feel like black women aren't united in itself.
No.
Like, and that's also another. So there's the colorism and all that stuff in the black women community. Because even I feel the same way about the black community. Like, if we all like legit united, we'd be lit.
Yeah.
And I feel the same way about black women, but it's not that way. Like,
you're right.
There's this disconnect.
Like, with black women, because we're so challenged by everybody else. Oh, my bad. We're so challenged by everybody else. And because it's only one spot for a black woman that's left, we're now fighting against each other to get that one spot. Yeah. So it's like...
Yeah.
Unpopular opinion, can I say? The dark-skinned women in my life are managers and... have been so much more appreciative and like supportive for me versus the fair skin ladies always
fair skin.
You know, what I'm saying, the light skins,
mine
they always thinking
opposite.
Like, no offense, but like they come at it like, oh, I don't want to say it like that, but like they feel like, oh, I'm coming at them because I'm saying hey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or that I have to holler at them. Or they've been in that position so yeah. long and they get that, that they expect me to be
that's
like
right.
the next black dude.
Yeah.
So it's always just weird because I'm like, yo, I'm just trying to get my work
but
done.
But is not it... Even... Nah, I'm just playing devil's advocate
nah,
here.
Yeah, we in it now.
Is it because light-skinned women do get it all the time and dark-skinned women might not get it as much?
And that's what I'm... I understand that dynamic where... Black, the darker skinned women are just so much more yeah. inviting to me because maybe they don't get the attention.
They versus,
not that they shouldn't. Not yeah. that they shouldn't get the attention,
and
but just.
But what I'm saying is from my experience is like, yo, they always showing me love. Mm-hmm. They always giving me the support versus the lighter skinned women getting it all the time.
Right.
Maybe yeah. like, oh, this nigga, what is he want? You know what yeah. I mean? And I'm not saying that that's fair, but it's just a part of like
yeah.
the reality of it. Ooh. Because when you get up to that ladder, it's only a few of us up there.
Yeah.
That's very
true.
Like,
yeah.
How do you feel, man? It's all women like you because you're tall.
Right.
See, that's another thing.
You tall African man here.
I hate you for that.
I've heard that so many times,
bro.
And I try to dispute it, but top 3 to 5 questions that a woman asks me as soon as I meet him is, how tall are you?
Yeah.
That's like, damn.
So this is funny.
I hate the going out with you back in the day, bro.
So this is funny, and I'm gonna be very transparent, and who knows who's going to hear this, but... There's someone in our DMs, and I had Kat ask because I was too nervous. It don't matter. But we literally said, how tall is he? That was the first question.
First question,
how tall is he?
And his age.
And his age. But yeah. mostly
but
how tall
literally,
is he?
Yeah.
That's most
height
important.
Always comes up,
I
and I try
to be
defend
6 feet yeah. or taller.
So yeah. anybody under 6 feet can't
Now, how tall are you?
I'm
5'2", but I need you to be 6 feet. I just
That's crazy. So you're telling me a 5'10 dude can't holler at you? She
what
said,
am I going to do?
He got to wear Tims.
If
he
I wear
Tims
heels, we're
day.
Like the same height. And
girl,
I just,
you ain't got 5'2", no 8-inch heels.
What are you talking about? You
5'2". There just can't be a moment.
Right.
Like,
is your dad tall?
My dad's 6 feet.
See.
Is he?
Maybe.
Your dad lying?
Nah, his dad, her dad's tall.
Is he 6 feet?
He's not tall.
I don't look at him and think he's short.
If he's not 6 feet, he's 5'11".
Okay. Oh, so it's okay for him to be under 6 feet.
I'm not dating him.
Right, exactly. I'm like,
not
well,
dating
that got to do
but
with
I also feel that that plays a lot of it, like what your father was as a woman.
My dad isn't tall, so.
But I don't look at your dad as short either.
He's not short. He's
I also think there's
five,
a confidence
nine,
in
five,
it
ten.
Also. Like,
yeah.
like, how do you carry your confidence?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
my True because that. Of who my dad is, like,
but
I've
your
never
dad's
met.
Jamaican. I've never seen a Jamaican
There's
with
not
no self-esteem.
There's not an unconfident Jamaican ever
that.
In the life
and that's that.
That's what
of
I'm
Jamaican.
Saying.
So, like, tall kind of exudes confidence on in itself. Like, yeah. you don't even have to be confident, but if you're tall, like,
Man,
that just kind
of... A lot of them tall dudes don't know what they're doing. They just as scared as most dudes.
they
just tall.
But she well, said perception is what
perception
she's saying.
Perception is reality,
perception.
Though.
That's what I'm saying.
I understand
so,
the fact. To me, I just feel like you're more... If your pops is 6 foot and up... Women like, oh, you got to be 6 foot. Just because,
yeah.
like, that's the
I mean, women,
that they get.
Honestly, like,
but I know,
model
like,
after their fathers.
Right. Yeah, for
the
sure.
Same thing for
yeah.
men
the same way
too,
men look for
a
woman
yeah.
like their mother.
Yeah,
you just got to so, be cool as shit.
So I'm saying, if, you're, yeah. if your pops is under 6 foot, then a woman's more like, oh, no, nah, it doesn't matter. But if your pops is 6 foot and up, every
yeah,
girl
you
be
look
like,
at it like that.
You 6 foot? Oh, damn, 5'11? Yeah. Sorry, bro. Like, that's just kind of like a natural selection.
It's definitely the confidence part, though.
Yeah.
I mean, shit, don't even
the
matter.
Confidence and a little bit of.
Nah, pretty, I'm pretty sure there's yeah. mad girls yeah. would be like, yeah, I want a 6 feet, and they got like a 5'4 dude. Like,
yeah.
It's life is like that.
Yeah.
it can't be somebody you can punk, period.
Oh, nah. that. Like, let's not get into men because I am so hard on men. You got to be the perfect masculine of all masculine men. Like,
you
I
have a Jamaican father. Like, that
exactly.
is going to be hard.
That's an impossibility.
Her dad has a machete in his back pocket.
Yeah.
No, when I saw him pull
Wasn't he cutting
out,
something down
yes,
one time?
In grass. My lawn, the grass.
Yeah. So you want a savage.
Literally the grass.
I got to have a savage.
There was one day, there was like a guy
with a
creeping.
Machete?
Yeah,
yes,
yeah, like just cutting the grass with the
yes,
machete. Like
that nigga is different.
He's like he just
he's
got his citizenship. Like he's Jamaican.
That nigga is
straight from country.
Field.
Like not even like from Kingston, the city.
Oh,
like
he's
from country.
Like,
yeah,
he's yeah. from the cane fields. Then
yes,
like, he
like,
yeah, that machete. He got
That's like the first
world.
Time. I'm not the first. Yeah, I think this might be one of the first times I was young. I went with my father to it was like Easter or something. We had to go get some meat. So. Pause. We went and killed the lamb.
Whoa.
He told me to pick it, the lamb, right? So I picked the lamb, we grab it, and my dad's like, well, help me hold it down so we can kill it. And my dad literally just chops the neck off
oh,
with the knife.
Yeah, we did that.
And then he literally, like, they got the hooks. He literally picked the lamb back. Up, like, flipped it upside down by his legs, stuffed it with the hooves, cut him down the middle of his whole body just and just started out. Unraveling his skin.
That was the most.
And I looked at my father. I became vegetarian.
And that's really why I don't eat too much meat. Like, pause. I keep. God damn. Bro,
man, I was 9 years old with that experience. After that, I was like, yeah.
I looked at my father
need to protect
different.
The animals.
Yeah.
I would like to not do that again.
Like, my dad, I was looking at him like, you might be a serial killer on a low. Like, you did this too easy.
And low key, I went with a Forky, Bimna, and my dad. So they playing with me and Giorgio, throwing the nuts at us and stuff. Yeah. Like, just guts at us. And we were like, and they're like, it's on your neck. And I'm like,
and
get
the
it
smell,
off.
You'll never forget the smell of like blood and meat.
You know what
I did?
You know what messed me up? Dude hadn't finished his grass, and it was grass.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Now you see everything.
You see everything, bro.
See, we lived in Atlanta when I was 7, and we went to a farmer's market, and they had cows and everything just hooked up. Yeah. And that's when I stopped eating. I stopped eating beef and pork. I wanted to do no meat, but my mom was like, nah, bitch, you gonna eat some chicken.
You gonna eat this chicken.
It's hard to give up.
Low key chicken with everything might be the...
Yeah.
So I gave up beef and pork
since
I was
7. Have you seen
the
Tyson farm?
I ignorance
that's what
is
made
bliss.
Me become vegetarian
ignorance.
Recently. I started watching some documentary.
Yeah. When I start seeing stuff,
ignorance
I just cut
is
it off.
Bliss.
It really is.
Because at this point, I'm gonna still eat chicken.
No, I understand. Yeah. I'm just saying, don't watch. What is that? What Eats or
it was something on Netflix. Something like
what's health?
Yeah, what the eats the or what the health? Yeah, yeah, that's what it was.
I saw that. I was like, oh,
but
yeah,
even the vegetables you couldn't eat on what the health. So
I gotta grow my own. We started the garden last week. It's coming, bro.
Weirdly enough, I could watch all that stuff and like be eating chicken while I'm watching it. No problem.
Because you got a savage ass dad in the lawn cutting fucking grass with
a machete.
Like you're cool, bro.
I saw Danae eat a shrimp with its head on in Jamaica. Like it was, like
it was
in the
a regular prawn,
a
like a regular.
Stop saying she, prawn. you killed it after that.
That
you
shit,
prawn. Like,
we bought it off like a vendor on the
it's
side
just
of the
a regular
road.
Thing.
I don't eat that shit.
Not, okay,
I'll show you the video. We bought it from a vendor.
Nah,
on the
but
side
my
of
grandfather ate a whole
it.
Fish head and he blew my mind. And I was like,
yeah, a lot of West Africans eat that. Jamaicans, yeah.
Okay,
I don't eat that.
I'm not saying that I wasn't like hating on him, but I was just like, yo, the eyes and all too.
Oh yeah,
I'm not with it. I can't even cook. Yeah. I can't eat shrimp that I just cooked because I cleaned it.
But you cleaned it.
But you cleaned it though.
But I saw the whole process and
that whole
it
process
me
is
up.
Disgusting, man.
Look, she gonna be all right
it
in the jungle.
I
she gonna be all right
though.
In the jungle.
Oh, she gonna survive. I'm gonna die.
Survive. You gonna die.
I'm gonna die.
I'm gonna survive, but
I'm gonna eat all the
I'm
bears.
I'm still not gonna eat the eyes though. Fuck that though.
Nah. But where can they find y'all at? Material
on,
curls.
On Instagram, you can find us at. Material Curls.
YouTube.
Oh, that was my cue.
Yeah, that was your cue.
My bad. It's fine. YouTube Material Curls. We try to post a few times a week. Our YouTube videos are weekly. Y'all, YouTube.
They're killing y'all.
It's so much work.
So much work.
And our whole thing is we want to give y'all the real. People on Pinterest and YouTube and Instagram be lying.
Lying. Yeah. They're not telling you about the good, the bad, and the ugly.
We did a picnic the other day. And we had to do it for a contract. This ain't dropping for a little bit, right?
Okay, it's going to be like a week.
No, we good. So we did a picnic for Home Depot the other day. And we didn't know that you couldn't just set stuff on the grass.
Oh, yeah.
We're literally trying to put, like, the cake thing, and it's sinking into the grass.
Yeah.
Like, Pinterest didn't put a disclaimer, like, oh, you need a piece of wood or something flat to go underneath. No.
Yeah, so, they don't want to play.
Trial and error.
Yeah, it is trial and error.
It's a lot of movie glitz and glitter.
Yeah.
But our Instagram and our YouTube both shows like the good, the bad, and the ugly of building. It shows all of our mistakes. We're not just showing you the cute stuff. We're showing you everything, all of our struggles. I built a nightstand the other day. The drawers were all messed up. I tell you all about it. It's not just like, oh, this perfect nightstand. So we definitely.
Did you keep it?
Yeah, it's the nightstands in my bedroom.
Nah, they really do a lot of good work. Yeah. Like, you'll enjoy it.
And it's from beginners. Like, our whole point of all this was just to be like, y'all can do it. We're literally starting from nothing. And you can do all these things that we're doing because we have no real experience.
I'm
going to
follow and I'm going to do some of that.
Yes.
That's literally the thing. Like, people just be really intimidated by shit. But the first step is starting it. Once you start some shit, you're going to end up going to step 2, 3, 4. Before you know it, you're halfway done.
Well, I'm an engineer, so I love building stuff. But I just got my saw. and I just got a couple of things.
Oh, yeah, you're going to love this shit,
it's
man.
It's crazy, start though, because we'll look at projects that we did 8 months ago, 9 months ago, and we'd be like, what the fuck?
We're terrible.
How did we even do this? Like, this doesn't even make sense.
With Josie's Toy Box, I was like, why was I okay with this?
This is
like,
terrible.
It just didn't.
But when you look back and you see the growth, that's the dope thing.
It's
like,
so dope.
I see my...
It's dope that you know what you did wrong by just...
My whole house, I call it a prototype.
Shout out to Bacardi.
Pause.
Shout out to Bacardi.
So you're not gonna pause right there? Like, you pause on
No,
me.
She's a woman. She can say that.
Prototype. That's what
I call it a prototype.
Yeah.
Because everything in my house is the first thing I made. The armrest tables that we make, I have the ones that
that's
don't
really
look
cool.
So good.
That's really cool. Yeah. Like, your whole house is your work.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I have a tray table that I messed up, but it's still functional. It's just not like
perfect.
Yeah. So these are my things that I'm like, wow, that was really messed up. Yeah. But look at how good they are now.
Exactly.
My laundry room, like everything I do, I try at my house first. It looks, it still looks good.
I feel functional. I did old productions and I'd be like, damn, that was terrible.
Everything
paid me for
even
that?
This like, podcast. Like, this is the first season where, like, usually every episode I got something to edit. This season that's coming out that y'all on, it's only one episode that I got to fix,
and
it's only
like
30, a small
3 seconds
part
of yeah.
It's like so simple, and this might be the easiest season that I've ever had.
You just start getting better.
Yeah. Proper preparation prevents poor performance.
Exactly.
I can't even say that.
P.
The proper performance.
The way the speech impediment.
Especially now with the fucking
Bacardi. Just say the six P's. You know?
Right.
Yeah. But
and the Bacardi.
Even like we talk about all the time, like with editing, how it's gotten easier for her because when you move.
Oh, so you're the
purpose,
editor?
She's the editor.
I'm the editor.
She's the editor. I just be the actress, I guess. I don't fucking know.
Yeah. She's good
on camera.
I'm good behind camera.
Teamwork.
Like we both have our strengths. That's the dope thing. With there
Play
being
your
two
lane.
Of us.
That's dope.
Yeah.
Yeah, like with there being two of us, there are certain things that Danette's good at that I suck at. And vice versa.
Yeah.
And we know how to compliment each other's, you know.
That's dope.
And then we have our moments when we don't.
Yeah.
Like, we just,
that's two different partnership.
People. Yeah.
I mean, me and Maz was like, I tell them all the time, like, I just like to produce, man. If you want me to do all that other stuff, you're probably not going to get done. So if you don't pick it up,
I do, like, 80% of the stuff, and I need him to just do a little bit, and he does. Like, the only thing I need really is the recording and just telling me
and
what I need to say.
And I tell him all the time, it's not because I can't do that stuff, but I've tried, and I'm just not, that's not me. Yeah. I like to be in the
and
lab,
just,
do my lab.
And that's just partnership. It's just finding out strengths
the
and weaknesses,
balance.
Timing, all that stuff. Like, for Kat, she has a lot on her plate. She's working, she has family, all that stuff. I literally just got Material Curls right now. Like, I'm currently kind of sort of unemployed.
Yeah, that's dope, though. We definitely going to tune into y'all's Material Curls. We're going to end the show. Sapphire, the other day I was doing, you know, I just be jumping. I go through all my followers, whoever's following me. I have like a, well, I ain't going to say, I just promote to them, right? I jump in people's DMs and be like, yo.
You stalk them.
No. That sounds crazy. But, I jump in their DMs and be like, yo, I got this available. Check it out. I got a podcast. So one of the girls jumped back and was like, well, listen to my music. I got some music out. And usually people tell you that. You listen to it, you're like,
oh, I've heard that.
But, you know, it's like, how could I expect people to support me and I don't support them back?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was like, I seen she had iTunes, and I don't have an iTunes. Like, I got Spotify.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when she sent it, it wouldn't let me listen to it. And then I looked, the album was only like $7. So I was like, fuck it, I'll support it. I bought it. Her name is Lillian Blanche. Y'all got to check her out. It's 7 songs. And I think it's called Here We Go. No, Here You Go. Songs You Wanted to Stream. This album is fire. Like, it's, and I'm not big on R&B.
I know Lillian.
Oh, you know Lillian?
Yeah, I've done some work.
Bro,
she's super dope.
Super dope.
Super
dope. Yeah. Like, I want
to
play the whole album, but I'm going
to
just play one song.
She got this one song, Wipe Me Down.
I was going to play. No, actually, I'll play.
All of them.
Yeah, that's Queen.
All of them is good.
That's Queen. That's on there.
The whole thing is.
She got 7 songs.
She has 7 songs.
It was $7.
Yeah.
I see what she did there. I like 7.
Yeah,
y'all ever heard of Anne-Marie?
Anne-Marie, of course.
She gives me that feel.
Oh, and I love it.
Now, she's really good. Like, she can really sing.
She's super dope, though.
So y'all check her out. Her name is Lillian Blanche. She supported me. She threw it up on her Instagram.
She's a supporter too. She showed
love. She's dope. So this song is called Sweet. I'm gonna play Sweet. So y'all check it out. This is Lillian Blanche. I appreciate y'all listening. Mez Drinks and Chill.
Just the taste of love. cannot control.